Please open your copies of God's Word this evening once again to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Reading from verse 25. To chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 25. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we now come to verses 25 to 27, which is a little section together there, as we spend now the rest of this chapter seeing Paul's admonition, his exhortations is probably better said, to the husband of Christian wives. Christian husbands of Christian wives. It would be a general thing to all husbands, of course, but specifically to Christian husbands. So verse 25, and in fact it's really verse 25 alone that we'll be dealing with this evening. So this will be a two-parter. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So we've already spent some time in the last week or two looking at what we understand from the scripture. And this is something that the Lord is working on in the church of Ephesus. And having done this work in the church of Ephesus, it's going forth into the church general, the church Catholic, throughout the world, throughout the ages. See, these Christian marriages, they weren't perfect. They weren't perfect because they were in the apostolic times. These Christian marriages had challenges. The two redeemed sinners living together, sinning against each other, sinning with each other, clashing, and loving and caring and all these other good things as well. But their marriage needed reforming according to the Word of God. Well, you know that phrase, semper reformanda, always reforming? Well, it doesn't just affect the church and church services. And it should affect church and church services. But it should affect every part of life. We're all to be reformed unto the image of Christ. And that doesn't just mean that we would talk and act and walk like Christ. It does mean that. But it also means that our lives and our existences are conformed to the command of Christ. And so he's now working on the marriages. He's working on individually, ladies before gentlemen in this case. So we've looked at the ladies, the wife's submission to her covenantal head, her husband. And then we saw there that he was comparing the relationship of the church as Christ's bride to her heavenly bridegroom, that is Christ, and drawing lessons out of that comparison. And we can see, as we've just read now to the end of the chapter, that that is a theme that's continuing as he examines men's role, men's need to be sanctified in marriage towards wife and towards Christ, and then moving on as he reveals some wonderful truths about what marriage is. And so where Paul in verse 22 gave a very simple and direct command to the wives, saying, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And now the husband receives, to begin with, again, a simple and direct command. Love your wife. Love your wife. So she's to submit herself to a husband in love. And it is to be of her own voluntary nature. She said, it says, submit yourselves. So it's not for the husband to submit the wife. It's for the wife to submit herself. And now he comes to the man and says, love your wife. Now, initially, of course, we might think, well, isn't that obvious? Well, it's not quite as obvious as you might think as we examine the word this evening with the Lord's help. And when he treats of the wife's duty, of course, I've mentioned, he looks at the relationship between Christ and his church. And now he does the same, but from the other way around. And now he sees the example of Christ as the bridegroom, as the example for the husband in relation to the church. And so we have part one then of this message I've entitled, The Husband Compared with Christ the Bridegroom. The husband compared with Christ the bridegroom. I could have called it the Christ-like husband, as we had the Christ-like wife, but I didn't. And there are two main points that we see in these three verses, verses 25 to 27. We're only looking at the first point this evening, which will just be on verse 25. And that point, or that thought, that I want us to consider this evening, taken from this verse, is Christ's higher love. Christ's higher love is the first main point. Well, it's all from verse 25 this evening. Husbands, and here we have the command, love your wives. But the command doesn't stop there, by the way. The command continues. How much are you to love your wives? Well, then he continues, even as, just as, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There we go. There's the Christ's higher standard of love that's being put forward towards men, being commanded to men. The love wherewith the husband is commanded to love his own wife, it is a specific type of love. The Greek language has eight specific words for love, different types of love. It also has many other words that it joins together to talk about the love of a mother or the love of something else specific. But actual different words for different types of, and they're not necessarily all love, but they would have a very loose understanding of affection or love. There are only two found in the New Testament. And there's a couple of more compound ones that we would know. We wouldn't necessarily know the Greek, but we know how they're translated as brotherly love. So we see brotherly love is used a number of times. That's two different compounds. It's as technical, almost as technical as we're going to get. Those two simple words for love that we have in the New Testament, and that's where we will focus our hearts and minds on, because they're the words that the Holy Spirit was pleased to use. They are the words philia, I might say philia, and agape. What is philia? Well, you'll know it from something like bibliophile, somebody who likes books. It means, originally it means an affectionate love found in friendship. That's what it is. That's the idea behind it. And so you have the, there's one of those compound words we do know, Philadelphia. So we've got that word phil in the front, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that's a Greek word that's in the New Testament, in the Greek. So when it speaks of that love of the brethren or brotherly love, that's the word behind it. And that philia is an affectionate friendship at its core. And it can be a very deep love. Some people like to take these two words and put them to extremes and say that this one love is quite a shallow love, but this other one's a deep love. That's actually not really true. That philia love it can be very, very deep. Be very deep. But it is mostly a reciprocating love. It's a reciprocating love, and that's the love that you have in friendships. If someone is nice and kind to you, then it's very easy for you to be nice and kind back to them, and then the friendship develops and starts, and then you have years of experience or whatever. So that's what that philia is. It's a reciprocated. It's a give and take love. It's a very natural way. It can be a very negative thing as well. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You know, that sort of a relationship. But it doesn't have to be negative in the slightest. But the second love that is used in the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit does use it and contrast the two in various places at various times, but we're not going to obviously dive deeply into that this evening. We're looking at verse 25. The agape love, what does that mean? Well, that is a love that is a selfless love. It is, and this is where it is to the other extreme of philia, is it's an unconditional love. Whereas philia can be a conditional love, agape is an unconditional love. It's an unconditional love, a love of all people, whether they're nice or not, whether they're friendly or not. Even an unreciprocated love, a love that's given even though you get nothing back. And I would say this, it's a love that's given even though you know you're not going to get anything back. So I should say for us sinners, redeemed still, it's quite a foreign type of love, which is why it could also be described as a divine love, as a heavenly love. And it certainly is the love that we've received from God in Christ. And both of those loves, I would suggest to you, to a greater or lesser degree, are found in the husband-wife relationship. But more the philia than the agape, more the conditional than the unconditional. But it is this unconditional love that's commanded to husbands. It's commanded to husbands because it's not naturally developed in the husbands. Maybe it's not there in the husbands at all. And maybe many wives can make a comment about that. That unconditional love. Maybe it's not there. And that's what we're going to look at firstly, because this is what we're reading here. Husbands, unconditionally love your wives. Unconditional love. Without any conditions laid upon the wife, the husband is to love her. A love not just with the words, not just with the lips. Obviously, it's with the lips, certainly. It's with the heart, and it's with the hands. It's with the emotions. And that's a great challenge to any husband, because a husband, of course, he desires things from his wife. He desires friendship, he desires affection, he desires intimacy, he desires care from his wife. And if he gets it, it's very easy to love her, but then that's no longer that unconditional love. But the Lord wants us to have that unconditional love, husband to wife. We're not to have conditions for agape love. So regardless of the wife's behavior, whether it's good or bad, today or tomorrow, or for a week long, or whatever it might be, that the husband is to be constant in his love for her. His love for her should burn warm or burn hot for her, regardless of her behavior toward him or a provision. And of course, that love is not just in the heart and emotions, as I mentioned, but it is the way he treats her and the way he speaks to her. It's expressed love. It's not just somewhere inside. Because you will express that love. You can't just have a blazing row and say, yeah, but of course deep down I really love you. Well, in that case, hold your tongue and be affectionate. It may be true that you do have that love deep down. Well, then you're going to have to work on that love will become unconditional love and will express itself in self-control. I'm going to look at other matters that is also in this verse as well. Now, that's not to... Okay, let's just say this. If you see the wife, he is to love her even if she can't cook well. He's to love her if she's burnt the steak. He's to love her if she's got a bad character habit, whatever that is, she's quick to lose her temper, she's a gossip or whatever it is, and he doesn't like it, he's still got to love her. That doesn't mean that he's going to let these things lie. It's not he's going to become a passive man and just allow the rot in his wife to continue, because that's certainly not what we're learning in those three verses. If he's to restrain his rot, his sinful nature, then he's allowed to, in a loving way, there's the key, to speak of her bad habits or bad character traits. They can be discussed and worked upon, but the husband's love is to remain constant. He's not to turn his love off. He's not to close his heart. He's not to do these other things. Now, husbands, or those who'd like to be husbands, that just shows what a divine and heavenly love this must be, because that's not a natural thing. Unless the Lord's been working long in your heart and given you this grace, it's a spiritual and divine love that's demanded. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ is given as the great example here of that divine love given to his bride, the church in this case. And by extension, when we think of the church, we think of every member in the church. We can think of ourselves taken up into the body of Christ. So how the Lord's love is unconditional to the church, it's unconditional to every believer. And husband, your love should be like that, unconditional to your wife. Now, when you see that lack in your life, you see on certain things and certain aspects or certain parts of the relationship that it's certainly not like that. Well, then you go to the Lord and you seek from him that grace and that strength that he has. If I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, then I go to Christ and seek that strengthening where I am weak. Husbands are, in general, physically taller and physically stronger, but it does not mean we're emotionally stronger or that we're spiritually stronger. And so we seek that strength from the Lord. That's unconditional love. But what we see also in verse 25, as we read it together, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Well, we see secondly an undeserved love. An undeserved love. Christ's love towards his bride was and is love to an undeserving bride. An undeserving bride. She was not believing, she was not humble, she was not obedient, she didn't love him, she didn't cherish him, in fact, quite the opposite. She hated him. She was a godless, idolatrous sinner, a spiritual adulteress. And as I mentioned, that passion that she would have if she had anything towards him was hate or cold indifference. Which might be even worse. But what is true of the bride before the love of Christ turned her heart towards him, again, is true of every believer. Born-again believer, you know what I'm talking of. You know the heart that was against Christ, and it was full of your own self-righteous works and not looking to his work, not looking to him and to his grace. So is the church. The church did not deserve his love. Christian, you do not deserve Christ's love. And I suppose taking it on the same road, wife, you do not deserve your husband's love. Husband, you do not deserve your wife's love. Which is a good point then to bring those two sections together when we're considering what the Lord has said through the apostle to wives. And then what we hear about husbands. So wives might think, well, I'm not submitting myself to my husband until he loves me unconditionally. There's no condition being placed on that command. So he may not be the spiritual hero, he may not be the man that you want him to be, but the Lord doesn't say anywhere, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands if he fulfills these conditions. Again, that submission is an unconditional submission. It is an act of love. And for the men then, because that's what we're dealing with now, it's not a question that you'll unconditionally love her when she has submitted herself to you according to your ideas. You are to unconditionally love her. Let's just say she's not a submissive wife. You're still to love her. In the same way that she's still to submit herself to you, even if you're not the spiritual giant that she wishes. So there's no waiting either sides, and not to wait for the other to move. Each has their own responsibility under God. And that's what, lest it be conditional love, and conditional love is not word mentioned here. Unconditional love, without any condition. And you are to love her unconditionally, because that is the basis of your marital covenant with her. That's the basis of that covenant. To love and to cherish, to honor, and all these things. And they, those promises are not made conditional. They're all unconditional. And remember, Christ loves you both unconditionally. And that's the basis of his covenant with you both. His covenant of grace. And that brings us, that's going to bring us, as we're going through this rest of this chapter, that's going to become more and more clear of that relationship. So we have the unconditional love, and there is an undeserved love that's mentioned, as we're seeing Christ there, even as Christ also loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. And thirdly, we see there's an unselfish love as well. An unselfish love. The full extent of Christ's love is seen in that last clause of that verse. And it says, and gave himself for it. It is an unselfish love. So selfless and unselfish is Christ's love towards his bride that what did he do? He sacrificed himself for her. He did what she needed. And what she needed was his death, his sacrifice. And maybe more than just that sacrifice, but the incarnation, the humbling of himself in that 33 and a half years on the earth, surrounded by godlessness and spiritual death and darkness. And then the humiliation in that last week of suffering, and then the cross work, and then being put in the grave. I mean, all of that, but especially coming to the sufferings and his death especially. So that's a great sacrifice. Christ didn't just do small little tokens of affection. He didn't just do small little things, small tokens of sacrifice. Philippians 2 and verses 5 to 8 say something of how Christ gave himself up for his bride. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what's being expressed here when it says, and gave himself for it, for the church. It's not just little tokens. The little tokens are important. So how's the Christian husband then to be likewise so sacrificial and selfless? Well, in general, it's learning to say no to yourself and your own desires, your own comforts, your own needs, which does not necessarily always mean saying yes to your wife either. But it is a saying no to yourself. And we got maybe little examples, you know, small token of love is getting out of bed in the middle of the night. You get out of bed in the middle of the night to check if it's a burglar or a cat. Little tiny things, saying no to your flesh. You know, there's one last portion of ice cream and you give it to the wife. Or whatever it might be. And they're tiny, tiny. But there are things that the flesh says, no, just keep it to yourself. She hasn't seen you get out of the freezer. You know, but you say, no, I'm going to give it to her. And there's a tiny little victory, husbands, over the flesh. And in that case, you've given it to the wife. Of course, you can also give it to the children or whatever it might be. You're going to get out early. You're going to be the first to get up in the morning and set the coffee or whatever it might be. Little things. But it is that mortifying of the flesh in the husband's life is important. And the little victories, as in every war, will lead to the big victory. Maybe a big victory will then be that you're able to part with those thousands of dollars that you've been saving up for your new boat or your second-hand motorbike or a computer or whatever, and then you replace your wife's old sewing machine. Just another example just to throw out. Very practical way of saying no to you, and in that case, yes to your wife. Giving up a kidney for transplant, that's more serious. Or even more extreme situations where it really would be giving yourself for your wife. So unconditional love, undeserved love, unselfish love, and fourthly, unfaithless love. Unfaithless love. And that's the fruit of all of these previous three. It is because your love to your wife is not conditional. It's not conditional on her looks. It's not conditional on her abilities. It's not conditional on her good deeds towards you. And if it's not conditional on that, then you're able to overlook those aspects of her life and her character that aren't, shall we say, most pleasing to you. So it's not based on what she has done. It's not based on what she hasn't done. But because your love is to be an unselfish love and it is to be a sacrificial love, you are able to continue being faithful to your wife. You're able to be faithful in heart and mind and emotions. Well, how do I link those together? Well, when people become faithless, it's because they see a fault in the other. There's a fault. They're not fulfilling my selfish needs. They're not doing this for me. They don't look as good as they did 15 years ago. Or whatever other critical comments there can be that are really at their root conditional and selfish. But if your love has been taught to be more unconditional, and by God's help you're learning that your love will be less selfish, then you can be truly faithful. Because when the heart is not faithful, then the eyes start to wander and look around for somebody to fulfill your selfish needs. But if that selfishness in the husband, by God's grace, has been diminished or has been removed, then faithfulness will continue. And there's Christ is our great example. Because he is unconditional towards his bride, because his love is sacrificial towards his bride, although his bride be undeserving still, he will remain forever faithful. That's his promise. He only has his eyes on his bride. We could bring in the doctrine of election here. He only has his eyes on his bride, whom the Father has given him, whom he has chosen from all eternity. And we close with a few questions then, as we close this evening's Bible study. Husbands, does Christ your Savior love you? Well, yes, he does. Hallelujah, he loves me. He loves me and he gave himself for me. But does he love you based on the nice things you do for him? No, not at all. We'd get very little love if it was based like that. Is it based on how you look? Well, thank the Lord. It's not based on how I look that the Lord loves me. Or how much I weigh, or how athletic I am, or how well I can do things. I'm just bringing you husbands into the idea of being like a wife. Of how a wife can be cut down as a person into providing that affection and that food and that friendship. And if it's not the way I want, then I will be faithless. But just see how unconditional and faithful Jesus Christ is to your soul, to your life. Be it that we are still don't meet any condition of ourself. The only conditions that are met to be saved by Christ are repentance and faith. But repentance is a fruit of the work of the convicting Spirit, and faith is a gift of God. So God has met the conditions there, and everything else is still absolutely unconditional. And so if the Lord Jesus Christ is like that to your soul, husbands, then it should be maybe easier for us husbands to be like that towards our wives. And if you're not yet married, both women and men, especially talking about the men this evening, and then this should be your prayer, be your prayer that you would be that. It's very easy for a man to pray, Lord, give me a submissive wife, give me a Christian wife, give me a wife who's like this and like that and the other. But really, what we're understanding this evening, that's between Christ and the women. But Christ and the husbands and the men says that you are to be in your love unconditional and selfless and sacrificial and therefore faithful. Till death you depart. So let our love, all of us, male and female, let our love be unconditional and selfless to your spouses, but also to your fellow believers in the church, and also towards God, that we have an unconditional love. Whatever the Lord throws on my path, I will love him. Let us not have a conditional love towards God. That is not right. That is not right. We are to love God. Again, it's the same word. It's the same word in the Greek. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Is that agape love? That must also be unconditional. Now may the Lord bless that word to our hearts. That's Christ's higher love. And with the Lord's help, next time we will look at Christ's higher purpose as we open up verses 26 and 27. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer, please. Our Lord and our God, we confess with thy word that thy love is unconditional. It is a love that flows towards the undeserving, the unworthy. We thank thee that thy love is a rich and a warm love, and it will never grow cold. Oh Lord, we do thank thee for that love. And we pray also for the husbands and wives and future husbands and wives, that we may understand and learn from thy book, that we may learn to be reformed according to thy word and conformed to thy word. Reformed by thy word, conformed to thy word. And as we've seen in these verses, to be formed unto Christ's likeness. Please, we pray, forgive our sins in this regard. Forgive the wives and the husbands. And the many, many times that our love and our affection has been conditional. And our hearts have therefore not been faithful in that way. But we've been conditional, only showing that love or affection or doing what things when we get something in return. Lord, it's very natural, but we know that the nature is sinful. So we pray, forgive us, Lord, and we pray for grace and strength to change, to be changed according to thy word. Praying especially this evening for the husbands. Lord, the world and maybe our own parents and family members have shown us terrible examples. Lord, let us be more Christ-like to our wives. Let us be unconditional and selfless and sacrificial. Lord, in all these many ways, big ways or small ways, and bless our marriages, bless our homes, form new ones, we pray, in and with Christ. Lord, hear our prayers. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.